This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. The League of Ireland is back, and once more, it's a new look Sligo Rovers for 2025. And no, I'm not talking about the snazzy new Rovers shirts. Tonight, we assess Rovers' Premier Division prospects, the players who've come in, the players who've gone out, how Rovers' rivals are shaping up. There are new broadcast television and radio deals this season. Even Shamrock Rovers are winning in Europe again. 16-year-old Michael Noonan has given them a 1-0 win in Molde. The only way is up, it seems, for the League of Ireland. Ticket prices are going up as well. We'll come to that later. Welcome to the programme. Tonight, it's the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division season's opening weekend. Three games tomorrow night. Shelburne, the champions, at home to Derry City. St. Pat's against Drogheda. And newly promoted Cork City against Johnny Caulfield's Galway United. On Saturday night, Sligo Rovers at home to Waterford at the Showgrounds. And on Sunday, the Aviva Stadium hosting the Centurion meeting of Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers. We'd welcome your thoughts and contributions as well over the next three quarters of an hour. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp or text will get us. If you prefer email, sport@oceanfm.ie. You'll find us on X as well, @OceanFMSport. Give us your season predictions, where you think Rovers are going to finish. What you make of the new look squad. We'll go through that shortly. We will hear as well from Rovers' latest signing, a midfielder who signed today, Jake Doyle Hayes from Hibernian in Scotland. He was on the Aston Villa Academy books, played with St Mirren in the SPL as well. Well regarded, and he is a Rovers player for the season ahead. And we'll do all of that in the company of former Sligo Rovers captain, treble winner, manager, assistant managers, done all the various bits and pieces for Rovers over the years. That's Gavin Dykes, who I'm sure is looking forward to a new season, Gavin.
Of course, Ossie. It's exciting. It always is. It's the pre-season. I'm sure all the players are itching to get on the pitch for the first game, and to be at home against Waterford is a good start for us, hopefully.
Does it feel there's a brighter light on League of Ireland domestic football now than ever before?
Yes, I think there is. I think last season, when you look at the crowds, were all up, all over the place. I think definitely the media coverage is a lot better. The television coverage now that we see with Virgin Media coming in, social media has made a huge difference, I think, to it. Positive and negative in certain ways. And I think, you know, the product is improving. It's definitely getting better. And it's exciting. And I think the fact that all the teams are full-time this year goes to say there's the standard. Would always worry that the money thing, you know, goes too big. You know, we've a history here of clubs going from boom to bust. You know, if you look at Dundalk,
the League of Ireland has always been a financial title.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to run, and it's very, very competitive. And if you talk to people around the league, and I talk to a lot of the managers that I know, and they keep telling me that when they go and talk to players now, it's crazy money. But they're getting the money. That's the problem. You know, it's very, very hard to compete with it. It's very hard for Sligo to attract players down here. It's hard to get people to the northwest, and that's why maybe every year we're looking at rebuilding, and maybe we look at the model and what's involved in that. I know we've a lot of academy players, which is great, signed, but they're untried. You know, it's a big ask for some of them. So it'll be an interesting season again, Ossie, I've no doubt.
It's been another close season of Lanigan's ball at the Showgrounds. They stepped out and they stepped in. We've had 10 departures, 9 players in, if you add in Jake Doyle Hayes today. So clearly John Russell and his team have worked hard to plug the gaps. But does it feel very much like last season that we're not sure what this Sligo Rovers squad is going to look and feel like yet?
Now look, I have sympathy for John Russell, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a rebuilding exercise every year. That can be very, very frustrating. You know, if you look at last year, I think the recruitment was really, really good, and I think he got it right, and it worked out very well. And in my opinion, we had a very, very good season. Besides the cup that, you know, we were all disappointed went out, and you know, we were up there doing quite well. This season, it's a big ask. I think we're weaker at the moment because we don't know what the players that are coming in are like. I think we've lost some key players in key positions. I think Ed McGinty was a massive one that we probably knew. Everybody knew that Shamrock Rovers were probably going to come in here and get him. I think he's quality. He was excellent for us last year. I think the interesting one as well, Pineacker is gone. I thought he was a really, really good player. Bonus for us is John Mahon is back. Hopefully John stays fit. I think it's great to see him captain. He's a local, and you know, I think he'll grow into it and he'll lead very much that way. I think then after that, if you look at the big one for me that we lost was Niall Moran. Huge one.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that. Let's just for a couple of minutes on the players out. I'm going to read out the list, and this is not to get Rovers fans down, but just to remind us of what has left the showgrounds over the closed season. Ed McGinty, Charlie Wiggett, J.R. Wilson, Niall Moran, Simon Power, Ellis Chapman gone to Shelburne, Jack Lewis Francis, we presume, isn't coming back. He was on loan here last season. Luke Pearce, Caelan Barlow has gone to Athlone. Reen Schmidt was only here temporarily and he's gone again. Nando Pineacker. You know, there were some linchpins of the squad there, and namely McGinty, Moran, Chapman, Pineacker, and when he's fit, Simon Power. Those five were key players.
I think besides Schmidt and besides Mary Wiggett, John would have liked to keep them all. And I think if we kept them all, we'd have been in a lot stronger position because you're a year better off working with them and everything else. Unfortunately, you haven't kept them. You know, and some people can say, oh, you know, to move on and to go to other clubs and things like that, and money is the key to it. You know, everybody knew in this league that Shelburne were talking to Ellis Chapman very early in the season. Everybody knew it. You know.
So what should Rovers be doing there?
I think you have to look at, you know, maybe sitting down earlier in the season and trying to put some, and I'm sure maybe Rovers done this, we don't know, but I think sometimes you have to take a wee bit of a chance and say, listen, you know, sign a new deal around June, try and get people on longer contracts. That's financially can be a bit of a gamble, but otherwise the other side of the gamble is you're taking in 7 or 8 players from the unknown on recommendations from people and from video evidence of people or from agents recommending players. And that's another gamble. So sometimes, in an ideal world, what you have, you can work with. And like I said to you, we've lost some quality. Hopefully the players that come in will bring the same sort of quality. But that's going to take time. And you know and I know, with this league, if you don't get a decent enough start, you can struggle in it.
Yeah. I remember 2 seasons ago, the new players that came in, we weren't sure what we had, and a lot of them malfunctioned. Last season, a lot of players came in. We weren't sure what we had. A lot of the guys gelled really well and the proof was in the pudding in terms of how the team performed. The players in this season are Sam Sargent, a goalkeeper from Waterford, Francely Lombotto, an attacking player from Galway, Cian Kavanagh, a striker from St. Patrick's Athletic. They've let him go. They're one of the league contenders, supposedly, this season. Jad Hakiki, attacking player at number 10. Ronan Manning, a midfielder from Galway. Oscar Van Hattem from Wellington Phoenix in the Australian A League. He's a Kiwi. Harvey Lintott, a right back. Matty Wolfe, midfielder. And Jake Doyle Hayes from Hibernian, midfielder, signed today. He has been struggling with injury in recent times. And so have 2 or 3 of the other new signings as well. So it is that little bit of great unknown again, Gavin. I mean, you'll know bits and pieces about some of these players. And I have no doubt nobody does more due diligence than John Russell. We know he's a very hard worker and will do all he can to assess what he's getting into the club. But there is an element of the unknown here.
Of course there is. It's a gamble. And I suppose if you look at it, the players that have left because we're wiser, because they've had a good season, that's why people are disappointed that they're gone. I do think up the middle we're a lot weaker at the moment. I really do. And I think, from what I'm told, the Wolf lad is a really good footballer. From people that have told me in England, he's really, really good. I'm told a couple of other lads that had the right back in is decent. I'm definitely told Doyle Hayes has good pedigree, can play without a shadow of a doubt. Are they fit? You know, that's the problem. A lot of them haven't played a lot of football. But I got to be real, Austin, they wouldn't be here unless there was a slight flaw. You know, to come over here to try and resurrect their career, I have no doubt John And he has proved this, that he has improved players that have came here. In fairness to him, he has done that all the time. And I think besides from the first season where he went to UEFA Continental with some of the signings that he had, last year he stuck to the trial and favoured model that we took players from England. You know, if you look at the Henry Francis one that he got in on loan from Arsenal last year, was a fantastic signing. You know, really, really good footballer. So hopefully some of these lads will work out. And hopefully we have a good enough season. I think it's going to be challenging. But hopefully we can. I think we need a good start, and if we can get a win on Saturday night, it'd be great.
How do you think Rovers recruitment compares to other clubs, given that we haven't been able to offer the carrot of European football like Shelburne were able to Ellis Chapman, for example? From what you've gleaned around the country,
I don't think we're in the same league as a lot of the clubs. Let's be realistic about it. You know, Shelburne won the league last year on not the biggest budget in the world, but I'm sure it was fairly, fairly big. I know their budget has improved and gone bigger. That's why the likes of Chapman is there. Derry, we know, have brought in a load of internationals, Northern Ireland internationals. I know Tiernan Lynch. Derry will be decent this year. You know, they'll be really well organised. All across the top five, as I would say, Pats, I think, are probably favourites for it, to be honest with you. It'll be Pats, Shams, Derry, Shells. Bows have recruited really, really well on paper. Interesting to see if it shells together, you know, for Alan Reynolds. After that,
could there be a gap between the top five?
I think there will be, yes.
Five.
I think there will be. No, there's always a surprise that comes out of the bottom five. You know, be it a Waterford or be it a Sligo or be it a Galway or everything. There's always a surprise.
Okay, so you've got Sligo Rovers in the bottom five to start with.
I think you have to be realistic and say, yeah, we have, because you're building a whole new team and you need a bit of luck. You know, Keegan Kavanagh could be very key for us. Big player. Has he done it at other clubs? Probably not as well as he could have. Everybody knows there's huge potential here. I've no doubt John has seen potential in him. He thinks he can get the best out of him, which I'm sure he'll give it everything he can.
You've managed before and you've helped out. You've been part of management teams, mm-hmm, both here and in the Irish League north of the border. We'll hear from John Russell later in the programme, and he is painting a very positive picture, and he clearly has worked very hard in the close season to try and find players and the right players to help plug the gaps. But I'm wondering how frustrating / demoralising is it for him and Ryan Casey and his management team when you have to do this scale of a rebuild every season?
He'll come out and say all the right things. I'd say underneath it, he's banging his head at the wall. Every time a player is doing well for him, he's gone to somebody else. People can say that's the nature of the beast. Maybe as a club we can help him out a wee bit better. Maybe we can look at doing people on different contracts. But that's easy for me to say here. You know, I'm not in charge of the finances of it. I don't know how it works. It's a huge commitment, and it's again, if you look at where we are, we're ran by a volunteer committee. You know, we don't have the sugar daddies or the backing of most clubs now. I think every club nearly has at the moment, except us. And I think that puts you in a fairly weak position every year, because if I'm looking at it from a Shell's point of view, from a Sham's point of view, somebody does well at Sligo Rovers, it's easy to get them at the moment, because you go and you offer them more money and a better contract.
Okay, you're taking us down a different but interesting road there. Let me throw something at you. I mean, are we getting to a stage in the next 3 or 4 seasons where Rovers will have to have a long, hard conversation, and there are people who live around the showgrounds who will be choking on their cup of tea or coffee when I suggest this, because we have prided ourselves on being a community-owned and run club. But might there come a point where we have to decide, and this is separate to the stadium redevelopment, if we're truly serious about keeping pace with the seeming growth and development of the League of Ireland into something of a different level down the track, that we might have to countenance having a wealthy sugar daddy in the mix who maybe has control of 30 or 40% of the club, the remaining 60% remains family-run, community-owned, so that Rovers retain their identity. But is a serious conversation around that coming now?
I think it's a reality. If you want to be successful, all right, and you want to look at all the football clubs in the world that are successful, all right, there's money behind them. You know, Shamrock Rovers have been very, very successful in this country. There's money behind them. Derry have money behind them. Pats have money behind them. They have people who invest money in the club. They're very well ran, all right, but that's the nature of the beast now. So I think for us to compete, if somebody comes along to the Sligo Rovers Football Club tomorrow and says, yes, I want to invest money, I think you have to look at it very, very seriously. And what we do community-wise is massive, and I think it's always going to be there. But supporters want to be entertained. The facilities and what we're doing with that is fantastic. But the product on the pitch has to be decent, because that's what people come to watch. They come on a Saturday night to be entertained, to roar on their team to try and win football matches. And they want to be competing for Europe as a minimum. And I think if we're going to do that, hopefully we can keep on producing players to do it. But I think it comes down to money, honestly. And at the end of the day, it's that market. Like, do we ever see the day in League of Ireland where people are on £5,000 a week? And that's going on. And like, if somebody had said that to me 5-6 years ago, I'd have said, no, that never happened. That's reality now, and fairly common.
And it's not happening in the showgrounds, we hasten to add.
No, I don't think the people that run it shouldn't be even thinking about doing that in the showgrounds, because we have to look after the club. And not, but I think if we want to compete, you know, you can sell an awful lot of tickets, you can sell an awful lot of lotto tickets. We raise huge money. The people that go around and sell the €10 tickets do massive amounts of work. It's unreal what's done. But if you look at where the big money is where people come in and are able to go and do it and invest money. The Philip O'Doherty's in Derry, all those sort of people invest huge money and they go and get players in that. I think Derry have signed 4 internationals. Like, it's, you know, and these are senior internationals. You know, it's different league to us.
Let's hear from the latest signing to Sligo Rovers for the new season. Jake Doyle Hayes, 26 years of age. He's a midfielder, previously with Aston Villa at academy level and with St Mirren in the SPL, and Hibernian, well-regarded Hibernian, but injury has plagued his career in recent times. But now he's back with Rovers, and Doyle Hayes says the vision that John Russell presented to him about Rovers' style of play and what they want to achieve was a key factor in his move to the League of Ireland.
Like the way he wanted to play and told me a bit about the club and stuff like that, and I felt like it was the right fit for me at the time. Obviously I've been injured, just coming back, and I think the manager and the club's going to give me a great opportunity to try to get back to my best and try and enjoy football again.
What impressed you about Sligo Rovers, Jake?
I think the ambition of the manager. I think even coming in today, the ambition of the players and where we want to get to this season. I think that sort of challenge to finish as high up the table as we can, and I'm ready and excited for it, yeah.
From the outside, have you felt that the League of Ireland is becoming more of an attractive league to play in?
Yeah, definitely. I keep an eye on it. Like when I was across the water, and definitely I think this season is going to be really competitive, and there's a lot of quality within the league in each team. So yeah, I think it's going to be exciting to be part of that.
And what can Sligo Rovers look forward to seeing from you this season?
I'll definitely give my all every minute I'm on the pitch, and hopefully chip in with maybe a few goals and assists, and bring energy and just try and make things happen.
That's a Cavan native, Jake Doyle Hayes. He's a native of Ballyjamesduff. Come back, Jake Doyle Hayes, to Ballyjamesduff. And he has signed for Rovers for the season ahead. And you've heard positive murmurings about him, Gavin Dykes.
Yeah, pedigree. You know, he's an Irish underage international. Was at the academy in Aston Villa. I think the well thought of there. Then moved up north, up to Scotland, you know, and done well up there. You know, I think he's played 70 games for Hibs. So, you know, at that level, it's pretty, pretty good. Yes, he's injured. That's why he's coming back from an injury. And that's probably why he's here. We have to be honest, Oz. He says himself he wants to try and rebuild his career. It's a great place to do it. He'll get an opportunity to do it at a decent level. He'll be tested every week in this league. No matter, there's no easy games in this league. And John, I think, maybe has done a good bit of business. But you're taking a gamble. But we know you're taking a gamble. You know, like I said, it's very, very easy for people to criticise, but at times we've got to cut our cloth a wee bit the way it is at the moment.
We've talked a bit about the players that have left. We've listed those who've departed, and we've listed the new arrivals. Let's remind you of some of the players who stayed put, extended their contracts. Conor Malley, Ollie Denham, Rhys Hutchinson, John Mahon, who captains the side this season, Will Fitzgerald begins his third season, Owen Elding has just signed a 2-year contract, you've Gareth McIlroy, Conor Reynolds and a host of promising young academy players, including goalkeeper Conor Walsh. So, I mean, you know, keeping the likes of Malley, Denham, Hutchinson and of course John Mahon are feathers in the cap.
Well, I think two things. Mahon is like a new signer for us because he's been out. He was so unfortunate last year. I think decent bit of business to make him captain. Like I said, he's a local. You know, I think really important that we have that sort of a local identity as well. You know, and I think he'll grow into that. I think it'll improve his game and his responsibility.
Does the captain need to be a local?
Oh, saying that to the captain who was a local.
Well, but the proof is in the pudding. I'm thinking from it goes back to Tony Finnegan. It goes back to Gavin Dykes. It goes, you know. Look, now, not to say there haven't been very successful overseas captains of Sligo.
To play for Sligo and be from Sligo is different than coming into any other club. All right, it's an honour to play for your hometown club. It's a bigger honour to captain it. I always think the spotlight is always on the locals more than anybody else. I think the spotlight will be on John more now because he's a local than anybody else. I think we give our local players a hard time. We always have. And I think, you know, we need to sort of get behind, especially young academy players that are locally, that are going to come in and get behind them and sort of support them because they're going to make mistakes. And I think that's very, very important. Do that. It doesn't matter. Niall Moran, in my opinion, was a local nearly as well because he's from Leitrim. And I think you always get that wee bit extra. I always feel that. With Fago done it, I know myself, I always felt a bigger responsibility to try and do it. And being captain isn't just about being on the team. Being captain is looking after the boys off the pitch as well and looking after their needs off the pitch. And people don't really see that. You know, but that's a big, big part of it. It was always something that I know me and my wife, Siobhan, everybody stayed in our house because they had to, because we had to welcome them into the town and look after them in that sort of way. And it was sort of that. And I'm sure John will take that responsibility very importantly. When you are bringing lads in here who know nothing about the culture, know nothing about the league, you know, and maybe look after them off the pitch as well as on the pitch.
You've always been a strong proponent and champion of Niall Moran. It will take a bit of getting used to see him in an opposing team's shirt this season.
Yeah, I suppose that was the one that surprised me most. I knew last year Galway were all over him and I was delighted to see him stay. I brought him to the Shorguns, a great kid, smashing footballer. The problem you have with Niall is that Niall was so good in so many positions. He could play centre midfield, which Bowes were going to play him in. He could play right back, he could play centre back. I heard people giving him a wee bit of stick because he's left. It's a professional game. I've no doubt he's been offered a good contract in Bowes. Best of luck to him. Hopefully we'll see him back in the Shorguns at some stage. I think he probably would like to come back here down in his career and everything else. But yeah, surprised to see him go, but I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, he'll be in a Bohemian shirt for the season ahead. Let's hear from the Rovers boss, shall we, John Russell, about his decision to make John Mahon the club captain this season in a moment. But first, his own summary of the squad he has assembled for the 2025 campaign.
Well, I think personnel-wise, it's a new team. We've lost a lot of players. I think 9 or 10 have gone and I've brought in 8. I'd like to definitely bring in one more, if not two, before the deadline on the 22nd of February. In terms of how we look, I think we've a good identity and a style from last season that we need to keep refining. And, you know, we bring in new players. It's good as well because it freshens it up. We've held on to some good players, I feel. But, yeah, it takes time to gel, guys. But I feel we've got a good brand and we're going to play a certain brand again this season. And once we get through the first series of games, we'll have a good feel for everyone, and we're excited to see what the new players can bring.
You've picked John Mahon as your captain for the season ahead. Was that a straightforward choice, the local boy who's fighting fit again, or do you have to put a bit of thought into that?
I definitely put a thought into everything I do, and with John it's not a straightforward. People could think that, oh yeah, that's a given, but you know, for me, John went through an awful lot last season, and he's at a stage in his career now where he's going to be coming into his prime. Everything that he's gone through and his journey so far in terms of coming up through the academy, getting a move, you know, being a really good player in the league, then moving, not working out, coming back, then getting back to full fitness and then getting an injury, and then he's back again this year. I feel this is the perfect opportunity for him now to show everyone where he's at in terms of as a player, but then as a leader. He's definitely got leadership qualities and he's got a really good presence, and he'll be a big, big player for us this season, and I'm excited to see what he brings, and so far it's been good.
What's realistic, finally, for Sligo Rovers fans to expect from the 2025 edition of the Bit of Red, would you say?
For me, it's building on last year, keep improving. The most pleasing thing for me last year was the connection between the team that we assembled, the group of players that we brought in, and the supporters. It was the first time I felt in years that they really got behind the team. Even when, after defeat, it was like, no, these guys are leaving everything on the pitch. They understand what it means to play for Sligo Rovers. And that was a big thing for me, that we need to continue to have that in 2025 with the new players coming in. And that can take a little bit of time. Obviously, results, when you get one or two wins early on, can help feed that. But we've got players that are hungry to get better, to win matches, and we'll see how the first round of games go, but we'll know after maybe 3 or 4 home games where we're at.
That's the kind of marker you would look at, is it?
Yeah, I think so, because you're coming off the back of pre-season when players are coming in at different stages, so it's going to take a month or two for everyone to settle down, and the league to settle as well. Everyone is bringing in players, so we don't know, and there's players that mightn't be fully fit at the start of a season. So it's very much unknown. You could have a good result or two at the start, and it's about three, four, five games in where things settle down a little bit.
John Russell, the Sligo Rovers manager, and Gavin Dykes, there's no doubt there was a good, strong connection between the squad last season and the Rovers support. You know, the home fans applaud effort, and they got that from the Ollie Denhams, the Rhys Hutchinsons, the Ed McGinties, of course, and the Niall Morahans. Can Rovers maintain that bond this season?
That's the minimum, Ossie, is that you go out and you give your all. If the people of Sligo and the supporters of Sligo Rovers have shown that all through the years, if you go out and you do everything you can to do your best, they'll appreciate it. But they won't have people coming in and not doing that. They'll be fairly hard to please, because that's the way it is with football supporters. But I think hopefully, you know, a wee bit of time has to be given here, that hopefully that the players all gel. It takes, we're taking people in to the west of Ireland who have never been in that sort of situation, that don't really know the league. It takes a while to adjust to it, and hopefully a wee bit of time is given to some of the new players. It's not easy for them coming over, and hopefully it'll work out for them. Everybody wants them to do well, but it is going to be challenging, you know, it really, really is.
So beyond John Mahon, is there added pressure isn't the right word, but onus on the likes of the Will Fitzgeralds into his third season now, even Conor Malley and Ollie Denham, who are relatively new players, but they've been around the block, they've done a tour of the league at this stage?
Well, the Conor Malley one is an interesting one, because the word is that
Shamrock Rovers.
Yes, and I don't think that's dead from what I'm hearing. You know, that could happen before the 22nd, which I hope it doesn't, but you know, you never know what goes on. Last day, a deadline day, as you say. So that'll be an interesting one. I think he's a very important player for us. I think he's done very well since he came in. Came from Dundalk, done really, really well. I think Denham has been really good since he came. I thought he was outstanding at times. New combination this year at centre half. You know, he'd done very well at Pineacker. Now he has to get a relationship with John Mahon. Like I said, the right back is supposed to be decent from what I'm told. You know, big, strong, gets up and down the pitch. I like Hutchinson anyway. You know, I think he's been a very good signing for us. So there you have a back four, you know, that's decent. Goalkeeping situation, who's going to start in goals? Will it be young Conor Walsh? Will it be Sargent?
It's not clear cut yet, is
it? No, it's not. And I think, you know, Conor Walsh, under 21 international, I think now is his time. That's my honest opinion. I think we have to give him a chance. Will it be a decision that's made on, you know, Sargent, a wee bit more experience playing in the league? There are the decisions John has to make, and his coaching staff. Around the middle of the park, you know, who's going to fill Niall Moran's boots? Right, but who's going to fill Chapman's boots? Because to get that amount of goals from a midfield player is really, really important. And that's the challenge.
Well, Rovers seem to have signed a plethora of attacking midfield players, ranging from Jad Hakiki, who could be a potential replacement, different type of player though than Ellis Chapman, Ronan Manning, if he can stay fit, Matty Wolf is well regarded, again has had knee injuries, but clearly a player with lots of ability, and the man you've mentioned today, Jake Doyle-Hayes, who has signed from Hibernian. The question becomes, I suppose, can John Russell fit all these people into a formation that's going to click?
But that's the challenge. I think from what I'm hearing about the Wolf lad, yeah, he could do box to box, but in the last bit of his period of his career, he's been more a holding player. Very good pass for the ball, really, really good that way. The Hadiki one is very technical, really, really technical. Seen him at Shelburne, really good on the ball, plays in a 10 area, drifts in and out, you know. Is he better than Caelan Barlow? Don't know, to be honest with you, Osti. That's we would touch you with me. I don't like to see locals leaving, you know.
You were surprised, you were disappointed to see Caelan Barlow leave the club.
Yeah, I was. And the reason I'm saying that is because he could frustrate me as commentator as well, looking at him, all right. But he always came off the bench and made an impact. I thought he always got free kicks. He always done, you know, done a shift, in fairness. And I thought last season he done pretty good. Whatever happened that he had to leave and everything else, and people have to leave if they want to get more game time or if the manager doesn't think, you know, that's football. But I do think he was a local lad. You know, I thought he was fairly decent. And I, you know, could have been, I was surprised he left. Really was.
Caelan has gone to Athlone. He'll be in the first division for the season ahead. One other new dimension this season for Sligo Rovers, Gavin Dykes, and as a former centre half, I'll be interested in your thoughts on this. Rovers have, I think, become the first League of Ireland club, although I am open to correction on this, to employ a dedicated set-piece coach, a Canadian, Jesse Atchison, and you'll have read about him in the national and local press in recent weeks. He's in as part of the backroom team with John Mahon from Canada, specifically to address set-pieces defensively and offensively, because this maybe will come as no surprise to most people, 30% of the goals come in the League of Ireland and in most soccer leagues from set-pieces. What do you make of employing a dedicated coach to defending and attacking set pieces?
It's part of just the modern game. See me, to be quite honest with you, I'd have been spending the money on a centre forward rather than a set piece coach. And I don't mean that to sound, you know, John is his opinion and everything else. The best set piece coach, best set piece person I have ever seen is Ollie Horgan. All right, goes and done it every week at Finn Harps. But to work on it, to practice it, goes to Galway. I think Galway have scored so many goals. Defensively, they don't give away goals from corner. It's repetitive. They know what they're doing. Each one of the players are doing. Like, do you need a specialised set piece coach to do that? If Sligo, if John thinks it is, fair play to him for getting him in. In my opinion, I'd have spent the money on a player. But that's my opinion, you know.
But if it's a proven source of goals, maybe it's worth throwing some resources at it.
Yeah, maybe. After the next 9 corner kicks, if we haven't scored a goal, then is it worthwhile? That's what I'm saying to you. It's down to opinions and it's down to what you do. Most players at the moment, you're coached from a young age what to do with corner kicks, how to mark, how to do things. If the delivery isn't right, it doesn't matter where you put it. If the delivery isn't right, I think it's more important that the delivery is right. But if we can come up with something different, and in England, they all have them at the moment, but I don't know if it's just part of the modern game or what, you know. If we have the money to get a set-piece coach, great. If it benefits us, fantastic.
If we look at where the Sligo Rovers goals are going to come from this season, you've mentioned Cian Kavanagh, who has come to the showgrounds from St. Patrick's Athletic. He's a dedicated number 9, so he is clearly one option. Wilson Wawerau is recovering from a ruptured Achilles tendon. John Russell has told us it's probably going to be June before he's in meaningful training, so that's him out of the equation for the first half of the season. He could be a welcome addition come mid-season if he's back to full fitness. Owen Elding has just signed a 2-year contract extension. which is a good show of faith in the youngster, who got more and more game time at Rovers as the season progressed last year. This is a big season for him.
He's had a good pre-season as well, Austin. I think the Keane Cavanagh one is an interesting one. He's big, strong, old-style centre-forward, holds it up, good in the air. If we put balls in the box, I think he'll score goals. Has he done it at other clubs? Probably not. Hopefully we can get the best out of him at Sligo. I think the Aguero one, as far as I'm concerned, you know, June is a long way off. There could be a lot of things going on besides then. Eldin, yes, potential. You know, and it's wrong to compare him to his dad. Anthony was a fantastic centre-forward and really, really good for us, and I was involved in the Shoreguns when he was there. Owen's a wee bit different, and he can play in wide areas as well and gives you an option, and he can hold it up and everything else. It's a big season for him because he needs game time, all right? He needs to score goals and hit the ground running if he gets a start, because goal scoring is a confidence thing. And if he can get a good start, good, you know, I'm delighted to see him sign a 2-year contract, which means that if he does go and score 20 goals, he'd be here next year. You know, that's the sort of business that we need to be sort of doing and taking a gamble. If it doesn't work out for on a 2-year deal, what does it cost us? Yeah. Not a lot. And I think that's the way we have to look at it at the moment.
But fans will have to show a bit of patience there, potentially, because he's still a young guy learning his craft.
He's a kid. Yeah. You know, he's a kid. He needs a full of potential, trains really hard from what I'm told. He's great attitude. You know, and I think it's potential that hopefully will blossom into something good for him.
But are we still one more out-and-out finisher short in this squad, do you think?
Well, that's why I probably said about a centre-forward rather than a set-piece coach, because I think we are. That's been honest with you. Now, look, Lambert can play up there as well. Aguero last year, to be quite honest, surprised me. I thought he... when he was coming, I didn't think it was a big step from the First Division up to the Premier Division, but he's done very well and scored a lot of goals. I'd worry about where we goals. If Keane Cavanagh doesn't click for us, I'd worry about where else are we going to get goals, because you've lost goals in midfield from Chapman, you've lost goals in wide areas from Power. You know, we have a set piece in because we didn't score enough goals from set players last year. So I think the goal side of stuff, I think it will be organised and defensively will be pretty good, but the goal side of stuff I would worry, and you have to score goals to win football matches.
Well, in recent seasons, Sligo Rovers have relied on a Kiwi or two to score goals. I'm thinking Max Mata and even Nando Pynacker on occasion from set pieces. I wonder, could this new signing potentially help in the goal scoring department this season? Oscar Van Hattem, who has signed from Wellington Phoenix in the Australian A-League. He is New Zealand by birth as well, and he confirmed to us during the week that he did speak to the former Sligo Rovers Kiwis about the move to the Showgrounds.
I had a good chat with Max Mata. You know, after I had a chat with John, I got in touch with Max to see what he thought of Sligo and as his time here. And you know, he had quite a few positive things to say about it, and you know, he said it's a good place to, you know, come and play, get good game time. John's a good guy, good coach. You'll play a lot, and you know, and I think the main thing I took away was that you know, he said the people here are some of the nicest people he's met. So you know, it sounded like a great place to come and further my career.
And were you looking for a change of scene at this stage in your football career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, back at the Wellington Phoenix, things weren't going particularly how I'd planned it to be. And, you know, I wasn't playing very often. And I think, yeah, it kind of came to that point where I think I did need a change of scenery. You know, new kind of look in from the coach. You know, just a new opportunity to prove myself. I think I'd been at the Phoenix for 8 years, and you know, I was known around that place, and everyone knew what I was capable of. I was just kind of excited by the opportunity to potentially impress a whole. Different set of fans, and yeah, that's kind of just what I was looking for here.
Oscar Van Hattem, we'll see what he can produce over the coming weeks and months at the showgrounds. Some of your comments and texts to 083 3500 530. Hi Austin, I believe that Rovers simply have to somehow attract a wealthy benefactor to take a shareholding in the club. The nightmare scenario for Rovers would be to have a state-of-the-art new stadium while playing their football in the first division. Sadly, it could very easily happen without major backing. That's from Jerry Farry, formerly of the Radio Parish, of course. And another, as a former Derry player, does Gavin think the Brandywell pitch is going to impact Derry? And what does he think of the fact that they seem to be not bringing any players through despite having such a history of doing so?
Interesting one, yeah. I think the pitch up there is a problem, to be honest with you. I also think the academy side of stuff, and I know from people speaking up there, they've been very disappointed. I think it's nearly a total rebuild going on there with some of the players that are going in. They have a lot of good players out on loan as well in the Irish League. Derry have a good young players. I know Peter Hunton is involved in the coaching up there now in the academy side of stuff. So I do think the pitch is a problem. But again, the council up there own it. They put huge investment into it. And I think Derry will have a good season. I really do. I think it's an interesting one.
They were contenders and weren't far away from winning it last season for all their travails. They were still, you know, they were in the mix until the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they were. And I think, no disrespect to anybody, I don't think the league was that good last year. And I don't mean that to take anything away from Shelburne or anybody else who's up the top, but I think it'll be better this year. I think it'll be a lot more competitive. If you look at when Stephen Kenny took over at Pats, I think they were nearly third from the bottom and they finished up early second.
They went on this busy run,
And, you know, he's a huge knack of knowing this league really, really well. Tiernan Lynch, I'd know, you know, himself and Seamus, and that they're coming into the league, you know, they're no dawes in any way, shape or form. They'll know, they'll do their homework on it, they'll be well prepared, they'll be very, very fit, and hopefully, you know, they'll give it a crack. You know, I'd love to see Derry win the league, to be quite honest with you. I think it's a great club, great heritage, and hopefully they can have a good season as well.
Okay, I'm going to ask you for your season predictions in a couple of minutes. Well, your hunches, you don't have to hang your peg on it completely. Couple of other things before we finish. Ticket prices for the season ahead. This is for match one at the Showgrounds on Saturday night. For an adult to get in to the Showgrounds on Saturday to watch Waterford at home, it's €21 in. If you're a student or an old age pensioner, it's going to be £16 in. And if you're an under 12, accompanied by an adult, £11 in. Now, they sound higher than, they sound high to me. At underage, certainly.
Well, I don't know who sets the ticket prices, whether it's the FEI or whether it's Sligo Rovers. Look, it's part of the modern. Everything has got expensive, you know. I do think it's expensive if you bring in a couple of kids to it. I mean, if you bring a couple of kids and you're an adult and you go and you want to get chips and everything else, you could spend £100 on a Saturday night. You know, that's a lot of money. That's £200 a month to go and support a team. Like, seriously, are people going to be able to do that in this day and age at the moment with the crisis that we have and the running costs that we have? I don't know. Maybe there should be family packages, and maybe there is. I don't know, Austin, but I think it's expensive. For what it is, it's expensive.
Yeah, and I know for other social outlets, people will argue there are a lot more expensive evenings out for a family than that, but certainly the underage prices have certainly increased, judging by the ticket admission prices online for the home game with Waterford this Saturday. Who's going to win the league this season, Gavin Dykes?
Who's going to win the league? I know I'd like to win the league, but I can't see it happening. I have a funny feeling Pats won't be far away. I think Stephen has signed really well and brought in some really, really good players. They've invested big money in it.
Well, they've got Aidan Keane and Ellis Chapman. You know, that potential combination, among other attacking players that they have. Simon Power is at Inchicore right now, am I right in thinking?
Yeah, Power's at it. Chapman's at Shells. But they signed some good players towards the end of last year before they went on the run. I think Shams will be there thereabouts as well. I think anybody who writes them off at their peril. I think Derry will be better than what they were last year. I think that they've signed really well. They have a lot of internationals coming in, and people are saying the wee bit of a worry is that they don't know the league. These are decent players, and they're an age profile of 30, 31, a lot of experience. Shells, I think, will be there or thereabouts as well. I think Bowes are the one that I don't know. They've signed very well on paper. Is Alan Reynolds going to get a bounce out of him? You know, he has Cornwall coming back, he has Buckley coming back. They're like new signings for him. After that, it's a bunch up.
Yeah. So Bowes might be your dark horse. What about Cork City briefly? Because they have a few former Sligo Rovers connections up front. Greg Bulger is still having another Indian summer in the middle of the park. Will they be okay?
I think Cork will be okay because their first season up, and no more than Galway last year. You know, you sort of get a bounce in your first season up. I think Cork will score goals. Rory Keaton and Maguire will be a handful. Rory's a handful of a player. He's a great lad. You know, he's didn't work out for him at Pats. Cork seems to be his where he does well. Seanie Maguire scores goals no matter what division he's in. So I think they'll score goals. And I think after that, like I said, yeah, I'd think the Galways, the Waterfords, Sligo, Drogheda. I think that's where the mix will be.
You mentioned finally the start for Sligo Rovers is going to be so important. Waterford at home, then Drogheda away, then St Patrick's Athletic away, Shamrock Rovers at home. Even that run out start is a big one.
It's about mentality, and I'm sure John is no different than anybody else in the world. Anybody else is sitting in the shore guns is thinking, see if you can win on Saturday night, then it's a great start. Lose Saturday night, pressure comes on, going to Drogheda. Lose in Drogheda, which is not an easy place to go to, and our record isn't up there, then all of a sudden you need to go to Inchicore the following week and pick something up. And then you have Shams at home. It's a difficult, but there's no easy games in the league. There really, really, really isn't, Ossie. And I think Waterford is a good one for us to start with at home. But they've signed well as well. You know, Matty Smith has come in from Shells. Lonergan is back from Fleetwood. You know, the lad who was at Pats. Decent player was at UCD. Very, very good centre forward. Andy Boyle has come in there as well. You know, a bit of experience. So the interesting one there, I suppose, was the signing of the new assistant manager coming from England last week. So interesting to see what's going on there. But there's no easy games in the league. Hopefully we get a good start. And if it was a thing, you had 3 points on Saturday night, it would set you up to go to Drogheda and hopefully get something. But no easy games in it.
Lots to look forward to. Remember, Virgin Media have the new rights on television for the League of Ireland. 36 live league games they're going to show. News Talk have the live radio national rights on the national airwaves. And Ocean FM will be bringing you the Sligo Rovers matches home and away as much as we can throughout the season, starting with Rovers against Waterford this Saturday night from 7:45. Gavin, many thanks for your thoughts and contributions.
You.
Enjoy the season.
Always do.
He always does. We are back on Saturday night with the first Rovers Hour of the 2025 campaign. It'll be presented by Sean McLaughlin. A reminder, finally, this programme is moving to a new day and time slot in the coming weeks. Friday evenings after the 6 o'clock news is where you're going to find us. So keep an ear out from that. This programme is also available each week as a podcast on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your pods. Search for Ocean FM Sport to find it.